Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Phil Colicchio, and you're listening to the Business of the Business here on the Heritage Radio Network. This is the show that explores the business side of the restaurant and hospitality industries, and we air live every Wednesday at 5 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network. If you missed this broadcast, then I simply cannot imagine why you would. You can come back to heritageradionetwork.org and find us archived there. And you can also find us as a podcast on iTunes. Folks, every once in a while, I get a unique privilege when I host this show. And again, you're probably thinking, sure, he gets to talk with some rock star chefs, and he gets to talk with some really interesting food professionals. But today, I'm interviewing somebody that really is a hero of mine. I have Valerie Costanzo, who is the Culinary Arts Coordinator for the School District of Philadelphia. And she's come all the way up here to beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn, to sit down with us. Good afternoon, Valerie.
Thank you for having me, Phil.
I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad we're going to have a chance to talk. I want to tell some of the folks about the Philadelphia School District. It's the eighth largest school district in the country, serves over 185,000 students, with over 1,115, I think was the last count of programs.
That sounds right.
Yeah. The school district, has become a national leader, in culinary arts education. And by that, I don't mean the fancy kind. I mean more training for employability of its students in the hospitality industry and restaurant industry. There are specialty schools in the Philadelphia school system known as career and technical schools. Is that right, Val?
That's correct.
And give me an idea of what a curriculum is like in a career and technical school in the district.
To be a career and technical education program of study, we have double periods, 10th grade, 11th grade, and 12th grade, total of 1,080 hours, and that makes us eligible for Perkins money, which is a grant that helps us buy equipment and technology, etc., for all of our programs.
Right.
So it's the goal for our programs to be to get that many hours. And we're limited to about 24 students in a class. Some of them are less, depending on the size of the kitchens and the workstations, et cetera. So it could be anywhere from 15 to 24 students in a class.
Give me a profile of your students. And by that, I mean, I think anybody who's listening understands that Philadelphia is a very urban community. The school system is very urban. The very rarely do we have the Cleaver family is walking their child to school. Tell me about the profile of one or two of your students.
Well, it is a very diverse population, and most of the career and technical education schools, which used to be the old vocational education schools, are citywide admission. So one school could be in Northeast Philadelphia and have a special program there, like culinary arts. And there might be a student from a totally different neighborhood way across the city. And they will get up very early in the morning, sometimes take three buses to get to that location, get there on time. They're passionate about food. They're passionate about the teacher. It's incredible to watch some of these kids.
You know, I'm sure not a day goes by where you don't at least get a moment where you're choked up about the efforts that you see. As the culinary arts coordinator for the school district, I know that you set curriculum and standards, and that you design culinary arts classes, and you hire teachers. I know that you have a heck of a lot of responsibility in your job, and I'd like to know, before we get into really the business side of what you're training these young people for, I'd like to know how you got into the business. How did you get into the business of culinary arts education?
Well, I was trained as a home economics teacher, and I taught home economics.
Old school.
Yes, yeah. Old school. I am old.
No, not at all.
So I taught at South Philadelphia High School for 10 years. And about my fifth year of teaching, I kind of got this urge that I really wanted to do something that all foodies do, and that is have your own business. Mm-hmm. I was not professionally trained as a chef, but I grew up watching my mother in the kitchen, an Italian mother, so I don't need to say what Sunday dinners were like.
And oh, but please say it anyway, because I love it.
And, you know, a traditional Thanksgiving dinner in an Italian household is you start out with an antipasto and lasagna and meatballs, et cetera, and then you move into the turkey and the stuffing and whatever.
Yeah,
so
it's the six-hour, right, the six-hour extravaganza.
Right.
By the way, we're here, we're broadcasting here from beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn, at Roberta's Restaurant, and we were just talking about the restaurant next door that is doing the 28 course tasting menu of Italian food. We're pretty excited about that. But I interrupted you. You got the bug to start
your own business and
in the food business.
Right. And my mother entertained a lot, and so I love to give parties. And I started my own catering business. It was called Putting on the Ritz Catering. And after my 10th year of teaching, I retired mm-hmm. and started Putting on the Ritz Catering. And I did that for another 10 or 12 years. And then it got to be, well, unloading trucks in the rain and, this and that, whatever. And
yeah, it's a tough business.
It is a tough business.
It's not all celebrity chefing, and it's not all...
No.
Cooking for the queen, is it?
No, it's not.
Right.
And one good thing about catering, though, is you knew who was going to eat what when, and you walked away with the check in your hand.
Yeah, well,
I mean, so it was kind of...
I like the economics on
yes,
that. Yeah,
it was really... It was the least risky of all of the food businesses.
Got it.
And then, I could go on and on and on, but I wound up kicking around the food business, working for large food services and a few other ventures on my own as well. And then I finally came back to the school district 4 years ago. And it's great because it's a culmination of everything I've ever done in my life, of teaching and entrepreneurism and, food.
It strikes me as an extraordinary pyramid that you began as a teacher. I think even as a business owner, you never stopped teaching.
Right.
And then bringing that wonderful practical experience that you've earned in the private sector back into the school system, where you really can put it to work by hiring quality teachers, by creating engaging programming, engaging culinary arts programming, and then really stepping out and getting the community, the food community, which is an incredibly diverse food community in Philadelphia.
It's huge.
Involved in your mm-hmm. programs. We talked about the types of challenges you have where you're in an urban environment. I'm sure that you're struggling for funding. You can't teach young people how to find their way through a kitchen. If the equipment isn't up to date, How do you get your funding? Is the funding just part of the budget, or do you need to go outside the budget to get special funding for what you're doing?
We don't usually. There is a Perkins grant, as I said. That's a perpetual grant.
Can you talk about that Perkins grant, and what does that mean, and what does that do? How do you qualify?
You have to. Your programs have to be programs of study where they're going to meet this 1,080 hours of learning, and we probably get about $6 million a year for the school district for all of the programs that we have.
Right.
So all of this Perkins money that comes from the state and the government is spread out for all of the programs.
So it's not culinary.
It's not just my, oh, please, right. If I had $6 million. but it's great
we'll
because
it.
You can, it's basically, you can buy large pieces of equipment, you can buy technology, you can't buy food, you can't buy textbooks. Mm-hmm. But you can buy all the supplemental materials that go along with it, videos and manuals, et cetera. We buy SurfSave textbooks.
Yeah.
And we teach our students SurfSave, which is probably one of the most valuable things they get out of our program. And I do make a big push to get as many students certified as possible.
Now, I happen to know what that is, but I think some people in the audience might not know because, again, now we're down to the real nitty-gritty of the food services industry and how important it is to be properly trained. Let's talk about what that SurfSafe certificate is and what you have to do to get it.
Well, everyone out there should be, what's the word I want to use?
Trained?
No, they should feel comfortable that when you go into a restaurant, at least one person on duty has to be holding the SurfSave certificate, which is a very rigorous program. It's a difficult program. You have to know about bacteria. You have to know about food temperatures. You have to know about holding temperatures, about storage of food in refrigerators, etc. So we train our students, and we awarded 145 SurfSave certificates.
That's impressive.
It is. It really is very.
It sounds like you're bringing science to bear. You're bringing writing to bear. You're bringing physics to bear. It sounds like a great deal of work that you don't usually associate with what we used to call the vo-tech schools.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
who teaches that?
Our teachers teach it.
Wow.
And they're all SurfSave certified. We are all SurfSave certified.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing about it is that if our students are applying for a job and they have a SurfSave certificate, they are more than likely to get that job over someone else, even an adult.
Right.
And some of our students who already have jobs have experienced that when they walk in with their SurfSave certificate, they get a raise.
I have to say that, you know, these are some of the reasons why the Philadelphia School District and why your program is really one of the nation's leaders in training these young people to have employable skills. Whenever I get a chance to get on my soapbox and talk about things that I see in the food and hospitality world that impress me, I bring up your programs because I believe in what the programs are about. I grew up as a blue-collar kid, and I know that learning the basics of any industry is really what's critical, because not everybody's going to wind up going to college or going to law school or going to medical school. The employability factor is what is truly important, and I love the idea that you recognize it, you fight for it, and you really fight for the kids. One of the ways that you do that is, and again, it sounds like a platitude, but you hire really good teachers.
We do.
You were sharing a story with me that many of your teachers have never taught before.
No.
Talk about that.
We hire chefs.
Yeah.
For career and technical education, people come out of industry. And they're usually in their mid-30s to, you know, mid-40s. And as you probably know, this is a very difficult industry. By about your mid-30s or mid-40s, you know, you get burnt out, you have children, you want to spend Saturday nights at home and not necessarily in the restaurant, etc. A lot of people want to give back, and they come into teaching. So we hire chefs.
Mm-hmm.
But all of our teachers have to be certified teachers. So after that, and this is a huge commitment, because after we hire them, they go to Temple University. and enroll in a VITAL program. Right. And they then get their education credits. And they have to get 78 college credits at Temple University. It's costly. It takes them a lot of time. And it's a lot of effort. But it's very good because we've taken these professionals and thrown them into a classroom of 24 kids.
Right.
And many of them expect them to be sitting there with their hands folded on the desk, et cetera, waiting for their pearls of wisdom to just, you know, come out. And that ain't happening.
Well, you've invited me to the school, and I've gotten to see that there are very few folded hands when I go to the classrooms. Folks, we're here talking today with Valerie Costanzo, the Culinary Arts Coordinator for the School District of Philadelphia. When we come back from a short break, we're going to talk a little bit more about her programming. Also talk about the Dorrance Hamilton Center for Culinary Enterprise, known as the Enterprise Center. And we're going to have a special guest with us, a Philadelphia chef, the brilliant Kevin Spraga, who has actually employed some of Valerie's students, and talk about that. Come on back after this short break. It's Phil Colicchio. You're listening to The Business of the Business on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. I've devoted my idiot career to the old ways, the old recipes, the old tools, the old geography of where serious foods come from for centuries. And I've strived to make these wonderful things available to New Yorkers for 37 years, so it's a fait accompli for us to support Heritage Radio Network. And I hope you will too, and I hope you'll keep tuning in. For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
Hey, everybody, you're back listening to Phil Colicchio here on The Business of the Business, and we are getting down to business this afternoon with my friend Valerie Costanzo, the Culinary Arts Coordinator for the School District of Philadelphia, one of the nation's leaders in training high school age young people for employability in the food, beverage, and hospitality industries. Valerie, before we also have a mutual friend of ours with us today, Chef Kevin Spraga from the Spraga Restaurant in Philadelphia. Kevin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Hey, glad you're here again.
Awesome.
And I wanted you to sit in on this because you can give a perspective from an employer's standpoint on how well-trained Val students come out of this program.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've hired a couple students from the program, and honestly, they're great. They're great young people.
Do they help your business?
Without a doubt.
Mm.
The most important thing for me when hiring is attitude.
Yep.
And when they step into the restaurant, when they step into an interview, they're professional. They're ready to work, and they're eager.
That's dynamite to hear. And I know Valerie.
I'm thrilled. that.
That's great. Well, you've expressed to us how you and your very, very well trained teaching staff of chefs really work hard with the kids, and you know the kids have to step up, and they've got to earn their CertSate certificates. Gives them a leg up in the employment world. One of the things you told me that added to my my sense that I'm sitting here with a real hero in this business is that I know that you fight for every dollar with other well-deserving educational programs for state money in Pennsylvania. And you told me about something that was called the high priority occupation list that exists in Pennsylvania. Can you tell the audience what that is? Because I'm setting you up for, you know, a pretty big accolade here.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. The high priority occupation list exists in Philadelphia, in the state of, it's actually probably nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
And they set parameters to be on the high priority occupation list, and that is to be able to make a sustainable wage of $28,582 a year.
And that's the number, $28,000.
Right, $28,582
per year.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to stop you there.
Mm-hmm.
Chef Sprague, when you graduated from the Johnson & Wales Institute with your diploma and all of that knowledge and skill set, how much did you earn your first job?
My first job was $21,000.
See, where I'm going with this, if you haven't guessed, is that that number, that $28,582, bears no rational relationship to starting compensation in the food and beverage industry or in the hospitality industry. Valerie lobbied, along with her colleagues in the school district of Philadelphia, lobbied the state senate, lobbied the governor personally to include the culinary arts programs as a high priority occupational list program. She recognized, and she made the state government recognize, and the governor himself recognize, that the hospitality industry is perhaps the single largest employer, not only in the state of Pennsylvania, but possibly in the United States of America. And of course, we're bringing in restaurants, and we're bringing in hot dog vendors, and we're bringing in hotels, and we're bringing in festival organizers, things like that. It's hospitality, but in essence, it's such a huge component of our economy that was being not supported by state government. How did you do it? I mean, that's a tough nut to crack.
Well, we were already getting some Perkins dollars, but they were going to be cut back if we were not on the high priority occupation list.
And but when you get to the high priority occupation list, there's special state funding, right? Additional state funding?
Well, it's just secures it.
Yep.
Let's put it that way.
Okay.
It secures it. And most of our students would start out at minimum wage, as most restaurants would pay. So we tried to figure out a way to show the sustainable wage up to $28,000. And we kind of went through the hotels, which were mostly union. Mm-hmm. So there was a higher minimum wage up to maybe $13 or $14 an hour to start. And so that did bring us up to the sustainable wage level. And basically, we had to prove that there would be 75 jobs available in the industry over the next 5 years. Well, in Philadelphia itself, that's a
sure.
no-brainer.
Right, in any big metropolitan area.
Right.
And
especially
world,
in
sure.
food, et cetera. So that portion of it really was not that difficult. But getting the Secretary of Labor to actually hear our case or take us seriously was a challenge.
I'm sure.
And I happen to have known Ed Rendell, and
the former governor
of Pennsylvania,
right.
And my friend and I were at a cocktail party event, and we were right around the corner from his office, and I said, you know, think Ed's in his office? Because I really did want to pitch this to him, and I wanted to pitch to him personally because, you know, he's all over the place.
And he loves to eat.
Yeah, he does.
You can always find him in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so he was in his office, and we went over there, and I pitched it to him, and I said, you know, if she vetoes this, would you override it? And he said, well, do your due diligence, which I did,
right.
And get it on my desk, which I did,
right.
And we were able to overcome the hurdles.
You know, I can't tell you how impressed I am by that effort, and I know, once again, we've got Chef Sprague here who... I think can really tell the audience what a really reasonable estimate of a starting salary at a low level position in a restaurant in Philadelphia, one of the major cities in the Northeast. Where is that type of salary?
It really depends. I mean, mm-hmm. if you're starting out at a dishwasher, $7-$8 tops.
Right.
If you're a prep cook, $8-$9 tops, and right. that's it. I mean, you know. People look at the restaurant industry and think, oh, well, there's a lot of money to be made. There's not. The margins are slim, and labor's tough. There's a lot of work that goes into it. I mean, you may only see three or four people that actually put the food together, but there's another 10 people behind the scenes that really did all the prep work, and
yeah,
that's expensive.
You know what? It's quite a ballet I have come to appreciate of what goes into the hamburger that I order.
Right.
At any restaurant, be it Burger King,
absolutely,
or be it Balut,
right.
Cafe Balut, it's an extraordinary ballet. One of the other things that that I wanted to point out, and I wanted to make sure the audience knew, is that I'm not the only one who showed an interest in the dedication of the Philadelphia School District and of Valerie's teachers, and how they prepare their students for life in the industry. A documentary filmmaker in 2008 also captured that in a documentary that is available on Netflix or occasionally.
It is.
Right, mm-hmm. You can find it. It's called Pressure Cooker. One of Valerie's teachers was highlighted. And Val, can you tell us a little bit about that and what that movie did, at least in the eyes of the school district, to shed some real beautiful light on what you're doing?
Well, it was filmed at Frankfort High School, which is a comprehensive high school, by the way. It is not a CTE high school, so they were not necessarily as focused on employment, etc. Mm-hmm. And the teacher, Wilma Stephenson, is a former home economics teacher.
Now, just for those of you who don't know, the Frankfort section of Philadelphia is tough stuff.
It is.
Tough part of town. It doesn't matter what race, creed, or sex you are, you can get beat up there.
Or how old?
They don't discriminate.
No matter.
Yeah.
No discrimination whatsoever. So that the fact that this incredible story is going on in that environment is also really inspiring.
Well, this is a very dedicated teacher. She will get there at 5:15 in the morning.
What is her name?
Wilma Stephenson.
Okay.
She will get there at 5:15 in the morning if she has to, and the kids will be right behind her at 5:30 in the morning.
Wow.
And they'll stay till 5:00 in the afternoon, and they will practice, and they will work hard, and you can walk into her classroom at any time. Everybody's in a white chef jacket. Everybody's got a beret on. You can hear a pin drop. She is a drill sergeant. She is an incredible teacher. And so the filmmaker found out about her, and they went in, and they followed her and her class for a couple of weeks. And this is the type of woman, I mean, she will bite your head off. And, you know, in another 5 minutes, she's, you know, giving you a hug. So as you said, it is tough love. But those kids do perform. She buys the kids prom dresses. She takes them up to Monroe College in New Rochelle on weekends, and they do a boot camp. And she really, really trains these kids. And I have to say, really, kudos to a lot of my teachers who do go the extra mile and do a wonderful job with the students.
Yeah, occasionally, something will be highlighted. You know, when someone has a successful season in basketball, a coach will be highlighted. When you know that coach couldn't do it without the whole staff that supports him, and I know that the film focused in on a particular teacher and a particular class, but it was very moving. Because the story was not a story of an individual. The story was a story of a commitment, and of kids who, frankly, might not have believed in themselves.
They absolutely would not
had they not been drilled, had they not been coached, and had they not been truly encouraged. One of the really cool things that came out of it is that someone else, pretty well known chef, television personality, Rachel Ray, saw the film and was inspired to donate a whole new kitchen to
that.
She
did.
Yeah?
She did. It was incredible. It was over the spring break, and they worked 24/7.
That's dynamite.
And put in new floors, painted the place, new chairs, tables and chairs, lots of new equipment. And it was all a surprise. This was all sotto voce. And Wilma came in that day, and there was she walked into the gymnasium, and it was packed with kids. Mm-hmm. And then Rachel Ray walked in, and, you know, she was shocked. And so then we all traipsed up to her third floor. And you have to see the stairs at Frankfort. They are like the longest flights of stairs you've ever seen in your life. So anyway, it was great, and Wilma deserved it.
Well, I want to encourage a lot of our listeners are passionate about food, passionate about the food industry. There aren't a lot of great food movies out there. This is a great food movie, and you should rent it, Pressure Cooker, and it'll give you an insight not only into how much a particular teacher can mean, but how much the commitment of a school district can mean, and how much the commitment of the people who support that teacher can mean in life of these students. Speaking of giving these young people extraordinary opportunities, which really is the hallmark of your culinary arts program, you've recently collaborated with the Dorrance Hamilton Center for Culinary Enterprise in Philadelphia. Maybe you can tell the audience what that enterprise center is about. Seems to fit in very nicely with the theme of the business of the business show here on the Heritage.
It absolutely does.
Heritage Network. Can you tell us a little bit about that enterprise center and how many of your kids are going to get into it?
Okay. The Enterprise Center is a little bit of a different entity from this culinary center. They have developed a lot of things in West Philadelphia. Dorrance Hamilton, who is a member of the Campbell Soup family, donated over $1 million to start this. And, you know, other banks, et cetera, kicked in the rest they needed to build this culinary arts center. And 15 of my very high-end students from three of the career and technical education schools, Bach, Massbaum, and Randolph, will be traveling to West Philadelphia 2 days a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays and spending the entire day there learning the business of the business.
Wow, that's an extraordinary opportunity.
It absolutely is. They're going to learn all about entrepreneurism. They all have a dream, whether it be a restaurant, whether it be bakery, whatever. They're going to be able to develop or learn to develop business plans, learn to develop the products.
We heard recently from Chef Spraga that one of the biggest stumbling blocks he had coming out of the gate was that he did not have experience in preparing a business plan, and it really took too much time out of his growth time. Accurate?
Yeah, that's very accurate. I mean, you know, learning to cook is one thing. Learning to run, manage, or own a business is something completely different. So giving these children tools and skill sets at a young age, even if they don't grasp it all, they at least have an idea of what it is. It's a great thing.
Well, Valerie, I'm looking forward to coming out to the Enterprise Center with you. Hopefully, I understand next week is going to be the first week that the kids are going to be there. I want to come out and see it. I want to make sure that I'm not only giving you accolades for what you've done and what you're doing. I want to give the School District of Philadelphia credit. This is a success story. This is a story to be highlighted and celebrated. The advances that you've made in culinary arts education should be known nationally. I want to make it known. That's why I wanted to have you on
the
show.
Thank you, Phil. This is great.
And I want you to know that I'm thrilled that you came out to Bushwick to share this story. Folks, the Philadelphia School District, Valerie Costanzo, the culinary arts coordinator for that district, has been our guest along with Chef Kevin Spraga. Thank you both so much. Valerie.
Thank you.
You are my hero, and I hope you'll continue the great work.
You're making me blush. Thank you.
Hey, Phil Colicchio saying take it easy. Until next time here on the Heritage Food Network, the business of the business. Why don't we see if we can get a little pizza, Valerie?
Oh, I'm in.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. Got Stitcher? Heritage Radio Network is on it, so get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.